night's Sixers Miami Heat game down in Miami, and Philadelphia should have just stayed on the bus. Jimmy Butler poured in a season-high 38 points against his former team as the Sixers got mollywopped, 137-106. Philly has now lost 10 of their last 12 games on the road. After the game, Ben Simmons said simply, "We were soft." Vinny, is it time to admit the Sixers aren't going to live up to their potential? Or at least the preseason expectations for where this team should have been?
Nick, welcome. Welcome.
Where am I being welcomed to?
To the place that the Sixers have long been. Contenders, no. Pretenders, absolutely. Look, as long as their roster is currently constituted, with Embiid and Simmons being the headliners and being stubborn headliners, their games are so different that you cannot build around both at the same time and have a contender as long as Giannis is running things in Milwaukee. I'm not someone that thinks that Ben Simmons is not a superstar player or superstar talent. He is both. But you cannot pair him with his deficiencies with Joel Embiid and be able to call yourself a contender. It either has to be built around Ben Simmons' unique talents and his unique sort of flaws and holes in his game, or you have to build it around Joel Embiid and try to say, hey, we're going to build around a center and try to win in a game that's not tailored towards a center being a centerpiece anymore.
Well, by the way, doing that might actually be smart in 2020 because there is an element of zigging when everyone else is zagging. I'll go to the Patriots last year. The whole league is pass, pass, pass. We need as many corners on the field at one time. So the Patriots just said, okay, we will go old school. We'll have a fullback on the field. We'll have two tight ends. You'll have a bunch of 220-pounders or maybe 185-pounders. We'll have 240-pounders, and we'll maul you. I do wonder if the team built the right way around the most physically dominant center in the league by a wide margin, if that could be a championship formula. But you're absolutely right, not with Ben Simmons there as well. They have two guys who are so unique in what they do. Embiid, because he's almost an anachronism in today's game, but still great at it. Ben Simmons, because he is the best star in this league with one massive hole in his game of anybody. Those two guys both need a system built specifically around them.
Yep.
Unless Ben was going to take a leap, and he refuses to.
Well,
and so because of that, sorry to interrupt, because of that, right now they are stuck in the mud. But what is so disappointing to me is I was so high on Milwaukee this year. I thought the East had one contender and 14 pretenders because I thought Milwaukee was going to do what they've done. So there is no shame in not being as good as Milwaukee. There is immense shame in right now this morning looking up in the standings at Indiana, who just got Oladipo back. Miami just crushes you. Miami, who should not be the 4 seed while you're the 6. Boston and Toronto, Boston overachieving a bit, Toronto a great infrastructure. There is no reason Philly should be the 6 seed in the East, even if they can't win a title because of Milwaukee. The way they've underachieved, the way they've been horrifying on the road, that's immaturity. I think Brett Brown's got to own some of this. And I think that Elton Brand, maybe the team hasn't been built exactly right.
Well, here's the thing. We're thinking they're built around Joel Embiid, right? But the moves that they've made in the offseason have shown that they've been tailoring themselves more towards Ben Simmons. When you bring Al Horford, we're saying that's Joel Embiid insurance, but actually that's a player that can swing to the outside, that while Simmons drives, you have a player who can space the floor. There's no Jimmy Butler anymore. So that means a fourth quarter player who handles the ball a lot, who meshes with Joel Embiid, personality-wise and game-wise, is no longer there because he does not mesh with Ben Simmons. And keeping Brett Brown, I think, has been holding this franchise back. I don't think he's a bad coach, but I don't think he's a great coach. And I wonder if the shelf life on him with this particular team, like Nick, I'm a proponent of there's 5 or 6 good coaches, 5 or 6 bad coaches, and a bunch of dudes in the middle. And he's in the middle, if not trending towards the back end of that.
Well, let's talk about what we just saw last night. Is it possible they paid the wrong guy? They just paid Tobias Harris. They let Jimmy Butler walk. Would they have been better served switching that up a little bit just to help mesh these two? Because breaking them up, Embiid and Simmons, doesn't seem to be an option.
I think it might have been a mistake for Philly to pay either one of those guys. And here's what I mean. I think Jimmy Butler is going to be at his absolute best, Jenna, in the situation where he's in Miami. Give me my team. I'm going to explain it to these young guys. Now, obviously, Jimmy's playing better than Tobias. I just wonder if we would have been seeing this version of Jimmy in Philadelphia.
Sure.
And I know they can't let them both walk. Tobias got to play better. I mean, flatly. We knew when they signed Tobias to a max deal, he's not your prototypical max player, but he's got to play better.
Well, here's the thing. Tobias is one of those guys, when you look at the box score, you look at the averages, can average around 18 a game. When you need 14, he gives you 18. When you need 24, he gives you 18. Like, the ceiling on that has to be higher, mm-hmm. especially when you're a prime time fourth quarter scorer who has to create his own shot. And for Jimmy, it's not that you couldn't sign Jimmy, it's that you have to turn the team over to Jimmy. Right. And that's his personality, and they didn't want to do that.
Listen, the trade deadline's in 2 days. Can I just throw out a fake trade that has no chance of happening that's going to get two fan bases mad at me because they both will hate it, but it's really interesting
LeBron?
Thought experiment? No. Joel Embiid for James Harden. Harden and Ben Simmons' games match up so much better. You feel like the Rockets, if they're moving on from Capella, if you actually think, as I think you do, that they have a hard ceiling where they're at now, Russ and Embiid, it's an interesting one. Now, again, Rockets fans are going to say I'm an absolute clown, and Sixers fans are going to be
Russ
even angrier.
But Russ and Embiid don't get along, do they?
Well, you'd have to work that out. You'd have to work out the personality deficiencies.
So
again, there's not going to be any blockbuster trade in the NBA this year.
No.
It'd be a fascinating one. It's not going to happen. Just throw it out there.
So wait, what is Simmons going to do when Harden has the ball and vice versa? Because neither one of those guys really likes to play with others.
Okay, fair enough.
Let's move out west a little bit now, where LeBron and Anthony Davis find themselves with the best record in the conference. But just three games in back of them, you got Kawhi, Paul George, and the Clippers. Both teams expected to be active before Thursday's trade deadline. Nick, who needs to make a deal more, the Lakers or the Clippers?
All right, Vinny's talking about educating me. Now I'm going to put it back on him.
Here we go,
Vinny. Only way you can argue that the Lakers need a deal more is if you're tied to some preseason take that you don't want to let go of. The Clippers have been underwhelming given their expectations. The Clippers have dealt with a far greater depth issue than the Lakers. And the Clippers have one massive flashing red light warning sign deficiency, which is if we do have to get through the Lakers, if the Clippers are fortunate enough to actually get to the conference finals and have to get through the Lakers, who's our rim protector again? Who is the guy that is not only going to match up with Anthony Davis, but is going to stop LeBron James at the rim? Because there's not a perimeter defender in NBA history that we have seen actually stop LeBron in a playoff series. We have seen rim protectors, even not great ones such as Roy Hibbert, give him some trouble. The Clippers ain't got it. Clippers have two sensational two-way players, Kawhi and Paul George, and then a bunch of designated hitters. They got a bunch of guys who are great on one end of the court or the other, and their depth right now is highly problematic. The Lakers, meanwhile, have an eight-man rotation that, especially if they get Rondo out of it, that they are comfortable going to war with. And if they add, listen, could they use one extra ball handler? Sure. One extra shooter? Who couldn't? But the Clippers, if they don't make a move for a rim protector, they have a hard ceiling of the Western Conference Finals, and it might be a tick below that.
Well, you're saying the Lakers could need another ball handler as if that's something minor. There you go again, sort of minimizing major flaws.
Who needs one more? Who needs the
Lakers. The Lakers do, and here's why. Because the name of the game in late May and early June is not can you shoot, but can you get your shot? And you cannot depend on LeBron in year 17 to get shots for everybody from the third. Why can't you? Because it's a recipe for disaster at this point. And he's having trouble finishing at the rim. He's having trouble getting to the foul line. The lowest rate, the lowest free throw percentage that he's had in some time now. He's not getting those calls. He's not getting the leverage physically because he's just not as quick as he used to be. He's playing efficient basketball right now. Nick, I'm not saying that he's not a top five MVP player. But what I'm saying is you're giving him too much of a load to create shots for everybody. If they could get a hold of like a Drew Holiday or someone of that ilk who can get his own shot and create shots for other guys.
Lessen would be a hell of an addition.
Lessen the load on him, then that makes his job a lot easier as the season goes on. These games add up, and the way he's looking now, like emotionally, this is all taking a toll on him, and you cannot expect him to play at this high level for the rest of the season and then 3 months on top of that.
Oh, well, I totally do expect him to do that because he's done that every year of his career. Except for last year when he popped his groin. Every year of his career, he's played his best. Well, I should say every year since 2011. He has played his best basketball in the final 2 months of the season. But Okay, so I don't disagree that in a perfect world, the Lakers add another backcourt player. I agree with that. And people mentioned Derrick Rose. I don't love the Derrick Rose fit. I'd rather a guy with a more reliable shot than Derrick Rose, even though I'm rooting for Derrick. But can we talk about the Clippers side of things?
Sure.
Are you a little concerned about the things I mentioned? That right now they have five players they trust, they don't have a rim protector, and they've got a bunch of designated hitters?
The rim protector, yes. But here's the part that comes again to it. Paul George, Kawhi Leonard are going to go back and forth. Even with Maurice Harkless being able to defend.
Harkless has been a travesty this year.
Yes. Shooting-wise, he's been there, but he still has length. And then when you add Kawhi, who's building it up, who's ramping it up his play and his minutes and his availability to get somewhere. Nick, I know you don't like the guy, but just because you don't like
him. I don't dislike the guy.
I didn't say you dislike him, but you don't like him.
I just don't know if he's going to play. I know his back tightened up on him the other day, a couple minutes before tip-off. It was a shame.
And just because you don't like him, don't make it any less true.
But your criticism of the Lakers is a guy who in year 15 played all 82 and then played his single greatest postseason arguably of his career, including 2 7-game series, mm-hmm. in year 15, mm-hmm. in year 17, mm-hmm. when he is having another record-setting year, mm-hmm. leading the league in assists, he might trail off. You're not concerned that the guy who evidently hasn't been healthy in 3 years, who needs a day off a week, that you think he's just going to be good to go for 2 months of playoff basketball. Is he going to load manage in the playoffs?
I don't know.
I'm asking. I mean, do we think he's going to play a full series? Like, I would anticipate they want him to. I don't know what his availability will be. So we can't just say LeBron, because of age, is going to be this when his history says he won't. And Kawhi, when all the evidence says, is the only way to give him a pass on the load management stuff is he's the single biggest injury risk in basketball. That's not a concern for you when he's supposed to be the cure-all for them?
So wait, what is it? Does he have an injury risk which causes him to do that? Or is he just taking games off?
Well, I don't know.
No, which side of the fence are you sitting on? Because you tend to play both sides.
Well, no, I'm not playing both sides. What I'm saying is this. Coming into the year, we were told he's not going to load manage the healthiest he's ever been. And then before we hit Halloween, he was taking days off. Pardon me. So it is option door number one. Is he's just saying, I'm a part-timer. That is indefensible as a superstar. Door number two is a significant injury risk. If it's door number one, that would be why, if I didn't like him, I wouldn't. If it's door number two, the Clippers got a real problem come May. Well, they don't have a problem come June because they won't be there, but come at least early May when they'll still be playing basketball.
Houston's allergic to June, not the Clippers.
Oh,
don't worry
wow.
about that.
Wow. Houston. Where'd they come up in this?
Vince, you want to talk about the Houston Rockets?
Do we have to?
Yeah, it's either that or his Slovenian adult son.
Every time Vinny's on here and we talk Rockets, I get phone calls. Why is this doofus? You talk to this doofus. Go ahead.
Not true. All right, so the NBA trade deadline is this Thursday, and a recent report has Houston shopping Clint Capela to a number of Eastern Conference teams. So the Rockets center's averaging just under 14-14 this season, but he's missed the last three games with a heel injury. Nick, any chance this Rockets team can make a run?
Oh, 100%. Absolutely, they can make a run.
Where?
Now, do they need help?
I'll explain in just a moment. By the way, the team that should be trying to trade for Clint Capela is the Clippers, to speak to the earlier conversation. But I think there's a reason that it's to an Eastern Conference team, because the Rockets absolutely believe, as they should, they are one of the contenders in the West, one of the teams trying to catch up with the Lakers. And, man, I was at the Rockets-Lakers game a few weeks ago, a game that Anthony Davis did not play in, and the Lakers still found a way to win. And my biggest takeaway from that game, more than anything else, was, man, P.J. Tucker continues to be wildly underrated. P.J. Tucker, until he left the game briefly with a slight injury and momentum changed a bit, he was giving LeBron the blues more than any perimeter defender that I can remember in years. And when we talk about the best non-rim-protecting defenders in the league, P.J. Tucker has to be at, or at the very least near the very top of that list. Why do I bring him up? Because if you've got a guy who can hamper the other team's superstar, and if you can get James Harden from December combined with Russell Westbrook from January as opposed to vice versa, that's a terrifying team. Now, do I think, are they the favorite? Are they my pick? No. But going into the year, I had them in the Western Conference Finals. And as I sit here today, because I think they will figure it out, those two guys, how to mesh together, especially because we're seeing Russ. This past month, Russ was sensational, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, they'd still be my pick for the Western Conference Finals. So is that a contender if you're one of the four finalists? Absolutely. I assume Vinny has him out in the first round or something. But, yeah, I mean, Eric Gordon, now that he's healthy, Harden, we know what he is, even though he's been bad for a month, and Russ is getting back to being the best version of himself, getting to the basket. All of that, and then we'll see what they do with Capella, plus P.J. Tucker. They have a starting five that can go up against anybody's in basketball.
You hear all those ifs.
I heard a lot of them.
If Nick had real hair, if James Harden played defense.
That's the only one I can
We got jokes. Like, you're saying, well, if James Harden plays like he played in December and Russell Westbrook plays like he played this month, there's a reason why these two guys aren't playing well together at the same time. There's a reason why that Houston is trying to get rid of Clint Capella, and it's not because he's not a good fit on their team. They're trying to get under the luxury tax. You can't compete and dismantle your team at the same time.
See, why would they... I don't know if the luxury tax, I know there was a CNBC report about that. They got under the luxury tax last year. Mm-hmm. So they're not in risk of being a repeater. So I don't, the idea that they are, that they would go all in on this year's team and then somewhat meaninglessly try to get under the luxury tax for this year, that doesn't pass the smell test to me, so to speak.
It does, because I've heard the same things that Jabari Young from CNBC heard.
I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Jabari.
Absolutely. But you've heard the same things about the Rockets team, about Tillman Fertitta, and it puts Daryl Morey in a tough position because you have so much money allocated to Russell and James Harden for the future that if you can get out of it right now because there's no realistic way for you to contend for an NBA title, then you do it and you try to recalibrate. Like that, I'm wondering if this thing is going to blow itself up in the offseason completely as opposed to them making a run.
There's no realistic way for them to contend for a title. So you think there's three teams that can contend for the title. That's it.
Every year I think there's three teams that can contend. Yes.
But this year you think it's Bucks, Lakers, Clippers. That's the list.
What besides you hoping and wishing gives you belief that the Rockets, because Golden State isn't there anymore? I don't care about that. They have not shown championship. They have not shown championship character. They have not shown championship cohesion. When you're talking about your two best players not playing well together at the same time, but finding a way when James Harden's not having a good month, Russell Westbrook has a great one. When Russell Westbrook is struggling, James Harden is putting together streaks of 40. Just because they played together in OKC and they like each other and they're from California doesn't mean that their games mesh
right.
Well.
And we do still, it's been 50 games, and we do still have to see if they end up being able to play together simultaneously because there is some redundancy in the games. We knew that going into this season. But this idea that they haven't shown championship character, they were the only team to throw a scare into a healthy Golden State. They took them 7. No one else took them 5. And so you can say that's not enough for me. Then the Bucks ain't shown it neither. The Lakers ain't shown it neither. What team has championship medal according to your standard? The Raptors? Are they?
Wait. Did you just say the Lakers haven't shown it either, even though they have a guy that you say is the greatest player of all time? Nick, you can't change your argument for the sake of the discussion. LeBron is the greatest player of all time, right?
There are players on the team that have shown it, but your argument is that the Rockets have not, that they don't meet some standard of championship medal. All the teams they're competing against, either Milwaukee has never done it, or the guys on the other teams have never done it together. The same issue with Houston.
Okay, here's the thing. Milwaukee didn't show, but they were up 2-0 on the eventual NBA champions before it got figured out.
Yeah, the Rockets were up 3-2 on the eventual NBA champions before it got figured out.
Okay, but that's not the same team. That's not Chris Paul. That's Russell Westbrook and 2 years older with players.
Okay, so
with players out of crescendo as opposed to Giannis still ascending.
So then Milwaukee's the only team because the Lakers have never played together prior to this year. The Clippers never played together prior to this year. The Nuggets have beaten no one of substance in a playoff series. The Jazz have never. What are we talking about? You said just because Golden State it's gone. Yes. Part of this is
this
the
ain't,
man
this ain't 2018. In 2 years, a lot of things can change. Okay. The 90s Knicks took the Bulls to the limit. And what did they do when Michael Jordan retired? They still sat their ass down somewhere and they didn't win anything. So don't give me what happened 2 years ago.
Okay, so
I need to see it now.
All right. Then just answer this question.
Mm-hmm.
Who is the team that has proven championship medal in the NBA right now, other than Toronto? Tell me. I'd love to hear it.
LeBron, your guy.
That's not a team.
Wait,
that's a player.
Wait. LeBron is a system. Everything orbits around him, and he has shown in different systems and different with different players, everything else, he can lead a team to the finals. I will give him that, even though I think that he is not the same physical force that he used to be. When has James Harden ever shown that he can lead a team to a finals? Don't give me Golden State. Sometimes you have to beat teams that are better than you if you're that season's MVP. Russell Westbrook has not been the same player that he was when he won the MVP in 2017. What have we seen besides Giannis? Absolutely right. Giannis has a lot more to prove, but he's shown that his game is ascending. Has James Harden shown you that his game is maturing?
I don't know. He averaged 36 last year. He was averaging
Okay, you're giving me raw numbers. Don't give me raw numbers. Give me game. Okay. It's different.
Okay. So that was a whole lot of words. To say I can't name a team
you,
with
Nick.
Championship medal.
I
because
you.
By your own standard, you couldn't name a single team with championship medal. That's fine.
So I can tell you who's not, who doesn't have
okay.
it.
Okay, yeah, well, that's easy.
On
we all
can
do that.
Same page with the Rockets. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern.